The commissioner of the Ontario Junior Hockey League, Marty Savoy, obviously this is as unique a scenario, not only for life, but for sports as well. And I mean, you look at having to cancel the final eight last season. Are these easy and very difficult decisions at the same time?
Yeah, well, when you make decisions on the health and safety of the players, they are pretty easy. But when you have to shut down and make drastic decisions like was made, they're extremely difficult because you do these things for the players. And when you shut down when we did, you're taking away an important part of the season for a number of these players. So it was difficult. And, the whole process of trying to get back at things here and the safety side of things makes it a bit challenging, but again, we have to make sure that we look at the safety of everybody first and foremost.
When you guys were making the decision to say this has got to stop like the other leagues, did you look at health units? Did you look at other hockey leagues, obviously with bigger budgets and more consultation? Or what was the deciding factor for the OJHL?
Well, it was interesting, Tim, because it was kind of a whirlwind when it all came down. I think it was, and a lot of credit has to go to the NBA when they first shut down and a lot of leagues start deciding that, you know, this is a bit more serious than just the flu bug that's going around. And so our board of governors made a collective decision on the data that we had just from different doctors and people we've talked to in other organizations, the Hockey Canada, the CJHL, that we would suspend operations first. And then within about 12 to 24 hours from that decision, it came down from Hockey Canada. We got wind that they were actually going to shut down the entire year. They were going to postpone everything. And so then there was a lot of another organization kind of figuring out, are they shutting down, are they postponing, or are they just canceling it? And so the decision to actually scrap the entire rest of the season came from Hockey Canada, but it was supported by our board of governors.
We're talking to Marty Savoy. He's the commissioner of the Ontario Junior Hockey League. Marty, I wanted to talk to you about the financial side of things, because here, as a good a rivalry as there is, was Wellington and Trenton last year. That was getting set to start. For the fans, it's disappointing, but bottom lines for these teams is also critically important. And I mean, we're talking tens of thousands of dollars over a series like that. Does the financial have to take a back seat, or how do you talk to the ownership side of things about these type of decisions?
Well, so I don't think it's so much that it takes a back seat. It's one of the things that has to be considered in everything you do in life with business, especially when you're trying to run, 22 hockey teams across the province of Ontario and where we're at. And, when we sat down, we walked through, I had individual calls with every one of our ownership groups when we were going through this. And collectively, it's in the millions of dollars that was lost. It's a tough thing to swallow to be able to do, but when you we're not the only industry that suffered loss through all of this. And so it was discussed, and we've tried to, work with our clubs with doing different types of things and programs and whatnot moving forward. But it's a difficult thing. You're seeing a lot of it in society right now, a lot of businesses that are going under now because of it. And we just, hope that we can recoup and be able to move forward, because these boys need to, we have at any time 506 boys playing in the league, and they're looking to move on to the next level. So we're part of that journey with them. So I know talking to our ownership groups that they're all committed moving forward. And so it's just one of those things that when we do move forward from a financial standpoint, it's just going to have to be something they're going to try to recoup over the next few years.
Now let's talk about the good news. We're in stage three. We're seeing a lot of changes inside, 50 people in a group, 100 people outside. Things are going in the right direction. You don't have a crystal ball. You don't know if tomorrow some tragedy is going to happen and set us back two steps. But as we're sitting right now, what is the timeline suggesting to you as far as maybe getting some practices in or tryouts or some exhibition games and even just getting ice in for some of these teams?
Yeah, Tim, the thing I keep telling everybody, everyone's asking me, when do you win the ice? I guess, well, the thing is, we're dealing with a virus and it's not listening to anybody. I do mean this to all of your listeners. If you want the OJHL to come back, put a mask on and make sure you're washing your hands. And I mean that sincerely, because what we're seeing, we follow the trends across the country and around the world, is that when they get into these stages, when they start coming more back into society, more back to the normal part of life, if the countries that are following those things properly, they can move to the next level. If they don't, they go back a step. So we don't know when we're going to start. The league will be coming out with an announcement shortly here about what we plan on doing. We will be prepared when we get the green light from our provincial government. We play within about 9 different health regions that we have to get those approval as well once the provincial government comes down. And then our 22 communities as well have to make decisions in their own facilities. So there's a lot of different levels above us that have to give approval before we can go and play. But our plan is to make sure we get the players back on the ice as quickly as possible, get them training. Again, I go back just to the level that they're at right now and taking this much time off of the game of hockey and their training. They got to get back on the ice. They got to get back at just, you know, getting the strides and getting the shots and just getting back into the rhythm to get into that training mode before they can start playing. So that's going to be our plan when we come in. We're going to get them training first and then be in a position to green light it as soon as we're allowed.
Here's a difficult one, probably the toughest one. What is the deal with international players?
There's a federal regulation that doesn't allow U.S. citizens to come in. So what happens is if they can't get into the country, they're not allowed to get obviously play here.
Now, can you tell me as far as best case scenario, do you anticipate a later start? Do you see October as a possibility, or are we on track, or is this more likely to be a December thing? If things stay the way they are, I know you can't predict the future as far as health is concerned.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. So we're preparing schedules from September all the way, I think, probably into January and February we can go to get a season in. It would obviously just reduce our playoffs and that type of stuff. What we don't want to do is add extra games into a shorter condensed schedule. We just believe that our athletes at the point where they're in their development, we don't want to put too much stress on a game. And so what will happen here is we're going to have to wait to see where this whole thing goes. We have to be prepared. I think that's the secret, and what the OJ is going to be able to do is we're going to be prepared to hit full game when we're allowed to. One thing that we will do, I think we're probably the only we might be the only junior league in North America that's going to agree that we're going to open up without fans. So if we're allowed to start and they're not allowed to have fans in, but we're allowed to have contact, we will begin the season.